Hi everyone, hope you're all well and you're enjoying this wonderful day and the week that is yet to be. Welcome to this amazing recording studio here in the Vicarage and today's Bible message. And today I want to talk to you about this. Kindness. And a slightly different today in that there's not one Bible verse or a passage, but several, and they'll be on the action sheet, which you can look through these scriptures on your own or with your cell group. I know some meet directly after this online church on Sunday to discuss this message or whenever. So look out for these Bible verses. Kindness is often underrated because we equate it with being nice or pleasant, and as if it's mainly about smiling all the time and getting along with people and not ruffling people's feathers. And it seems rather a mundane virtue often. But you know, the Bible presents a very different and compelling portrait of kindness. And that's what we're going to look at in this Bible message. I'm so excited about this message about kindness. The word itself, kindness, in the New Testament written in Greek, is a word, krestos. And it's defined as goodness, excellent, pleasant, useful, all those attributes. In fact, it was a popular name in the at the time of writing the Bible, the first century, for a slave. If it wasn't bad enough being a slave, you were called useful and pleasant and excellent. Tim Keller, who is a fantastic church leader in the USA, said this about kindness. I'm going to read this to you now. Kindness, it's an ability to serve others practically in a way which makes me vulnerable, which comes from having a deep inner security. Its opposite is envy, which leaves me unable to rejoice in another's joy. And its fake alternative is manipulative good deeds. In other words, doing good for others so I can congratulate myself and feel I am good enough for others or for God. That's a great quote and wise words from Tim Keller. What I'd like to do now is present seven, very simply, great truths about biblical kindness. Seven great truths. And so let's go. Number one. Kindness is supernatural. Kindness is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22. You can read it for yourself. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And this means it's a supernaturally generous move of our lives towards other people, even if sometimes they don't deserve it. And you know why? Because our God is kind in this way. We read in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, that his kindness leads to repentance. In other words, even though we often ignore him and reject him, God's kindness in us stirs us and turns us back to him. But no matter what we do, whether we ignore him or reject him, God is still kind. So kindness, first and foremost, is supernatural. It's from heaven. It's divine. Secondly, kindness is love. Kindness is love in action. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's great treatise on love. You remember, love is patient, love is kind, and the list goes on. In fact, I would go further to say it's more than kind, it's more than love, it's tough love. Because kindness is often hard to give. And so often hard to receive. A kind action can sometimes feel like a blow, a sobering blow. Let me read you Psalm 141 and verse 5, which says this. Let a righteous man strike me. It's a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It's oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. Jesus call the Pharisees whitewashed tombs and sometimes a brood of vipers. These were very harsh words, but they were kind words, because in doing so, Jesus was exposing their sin. And sometimes we have to be kind to people. You've heard the phrase, you have to be cruel to be kind. Not quite that, but you do have to be direct sometimes and address things, because you have to go deep with kindness to expose the rot and the sin which so pervades our lives often. So kindness is love in action. It's supernatural, it's love. And thirdly, kindness is radical. We are called to love, but we're called to love our enemies. Why? Because it's what God does. Let me read you from Luke chapter 6 and verse 35 here. Jesus said, "Love your enemies and do good, and lend to others, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil." It's a tough one, isn't it? Paul goes on to elaborate this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, which says this: "Be kind to one another, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you." Ephesians 4, verse 32. I said this several times, many times at the front, on the platform, in church on a Sunday, that I came from a family that just could not forgive, found it very hard to forgive, and therefore couldn't show kindness. My parents loved me. At the time, you don't realize it when you are young, and I wish I had the opportunity now. They've been dead a long time. I wish I had the opportunity now to thank them for the love that they showed me and the opportunities they gave me in life and the beginning that they gave me in life. They sacrificed a lot for me. I'm aware of that now, but I wasn't at the time. But family tensions, which grew and grew over the years, led to a lack of kindness in our home. And even then, as a boy and growing up in that household, I knew this was not right. I didn't go to church, I had no Christian friends, but I knew inside this was not right, that there was another way, a better way to live, a better life, I found out, which was based on God's kindness. And I know, looking back now with hindsight, that even in those early days when I was a boy, that Jesus started to plant kindness into my heart. And since those days, I've tried always and often, more than often, failed to live out this kindness in my life through my words and my actions, and certainly in my ministry. People often say to me, "You're always going on about kindness," because it's inside of me. I get it wrong loads of times, but I try every day to live that out. So it's supernatural, it's love, and it's very radical. Fourthly, it's practical. It's a great church leader in America called Steve Sjogren, and he began the Cincinnati Vineyard Church, wrote a great book called Conspiracy of Kindness. And in this, he said that random acts of kindness grew that church. It started with 37 people, and I don't know how many it is now, but it certainly got to 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people. And this is what Steve said. He said this: "Small things done with great love are changing the world. People have discovered the power and impact of showing God's love in practical ways." He also went on to say this with regard to kindness. Just listen to this: "Many people may be only one act of kindness away from meeting a Christian and so meeting Jesus." Isn't that a powerful phrase, isn't it? And it took me back to Fervale. We have a fantastic ministry down there and people who've served down there over many years. But Fervale, the ministry in Fervale, the Eden project down there and our community in Fervale, all began with one lady called Joyce Keeney. And it began with an act of kindness. I recall her coming to me one Sunday and saying, "What do I do with my neighbours?" I said, what do you like doing, Joyce? And she said, "I love baking." I said, "Do some baking then." So she did. She went and baked some cakes. And she took them very bravely, I think, courageously, and knocked on the doors of her community and to her Slovakian neighbours, 99.5% of whom couldn't speak English. But, you know, there's something international about offering cakes to people. They seem to understand that language. And out of that came something tremendous, the beginnings of our ministry in Fir Vale. Fir Vale began and continues to this day with the team now through acts of kindness. And so not only is it supernatural, not only is it love, not only is it radical, it's very, very practical indeed. And fifthly, kindness is powerful. It's a very powerful thing. This is what Martin Luther King, the great human rights missionary did. I'm trying to find a word to describe Martin Luther King, but he covers all kinds of bases. He once said this: "Start by keeping kindness at the forefront of your mind in everything that you do. You never know the impact that your words could make, maybe even for years to come." Wow. Kindness in the forefront of your mind in everything that you do. I've told the story many times that I became a Christian because a Christian work colleague was kind to me. And Tricia and I came to faith. Both of us came to faith because this faith-filled couple, this colleague of mine and his wife, showed us great kindness as we tried to work out what our life was about in our 20s. Because that's what you do, isn't it? In your 20s, you're working out what it's all about. We just got married. They showed us great kindness. So it is a very powerful thing, kindness. It can so easily just change people's lives. Sixth, it's very personal. It's very personal. Not just practical, it's very personal. This is the verse that started the sermon rolling in my mind. It's Colossians 3 and verse 12. We are to, as Paul says, clothe ourselves in kindness. Kindness is in a list of godly attributes there, which you can read yourself. Clothe yourselves in kindness each day. The word, the phrase there, clothe yourself, means to sink into, to wrap around you. And you know, you can't get more personal than putting on your clothes in the morning or whenever, can you? It's just so personal, isn't it? And kindness is a personal thing. It's something which affects you and out of you affects other people. And it's good that personally that we are known as kind people. Do people regard you as someone who is kind, who is willing to put themselves out, show them encouragement, bring them a word which will just bring a smile to their face? When you walk into a room or a meeting at work, are you known as a kind person? It's very, very personal. It's not just something you do. It's something that you are. So here's the seventh great truth, I think, for us today about kindness. It is the mark of true leadership. I'm not talking here about just leaders in the church. I'm talking about if you are leading your family, leading friends, leading in your business, leading wherever. Let's go back to the Bible. Peter and John, after the day of Pentecost, went off to church and they met a lame man by the gate called Beautiful. What did they do? Silver and gold, we don't have any, but they prayed for him. In the name of Jesus Christ, they said, rise up and walk. And he did. And as the song goes, he went walking and leaping. I'm not going to sing it now. Now, they were taken to court for this healing that took place, and they had to explain their actions. That happened in chapter 3 of Acts, and then in chapter 4, they're taken before the religious leaders. And they had to explain their actions, and they challenged these religious leaders when they'd been arrested. And the scripture tells us, why are you doing this to us? 4, quote, Acts 4, verse 9, this act of kindness. Yes, it was a healing and great things, and the gospel was presented, but basically it was an act of kindness. So we see there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 9, St. Paul, an amazing leader, one of the greatest leaders of all time, and he laid out his spiritual CV to the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 to 13. And you know what? Kindness was on his list. There it was. Lots of other people around in that church in Corinth were claiming to be the real spiritual leaders. They had all the right answers. They knew what it was all about. Listen to my teaching. Follow me. This is the way to do it. But he said this. So you want proof that I'm a leader? Well, here it is. I'm kind. That's basically what he said. Paul showed great kindness. Great kindness indeed. So they're the seven great truths about kindness. I'm going to wrap this up by saying this now. I'm going to ask you a question. Maybe this is something to ponder individually, but in families and in online cell groups. Are we kind? Are we kind? The biblical witness and personal testimony and our own conscience should make us all wonder how we're doing in the kindness business. When I do these talks on kindness, and I've done several over the years, this is different to the one I've done before. It's always different. It challenges me about kindness in my own life. How are we doing in the kindness business? Are we generously inclined towards those around us? Or do we think, speak, and act in unkind ways to others? I've been pondering this for a while over these past weeks. And you know what? I'll be just quite upfront about this. I don't think our nation could have been described as kind. Do you remember the definition? Christos and the ability to serve others practically with no reward for me. I think most reasonable commentators would probably agree that our nation had become polarized in these weeks and months and even years before this crisis we're in now. There were the haves and the have-nots. We had leave and remain. Oh, how challenging was that? We had the politically left and right. It seems that the rich got rich and the poor got poorer, and the majority in the middle hung on and just hoped for the best. Food banks were growing at a remarkable rate. Families were under pressure. Child poverty was increasing. Politicians argued and argued, and the church seemed powerless to do anything about this. We had lost the ability to be civil to each other, to simply be kind to each other, not compromising our fundamental beliefs, but just to be kind, one human being to another. And you know what? If that was normal life, who really wants to return to that? I don't. We hear a lot about getting back to normal life. Do you want to go back to that? Where it was me first, never mind you, never a civil word to anyone. I don't want to go back to that. But you know what? We have an amazing opportunity now before us. This new normal, which is starting to be birthed. And birthing something is painful and difficult and challenging. And that's what's happening at the moment. There's a new birth happening, not just in our lives or in our city or in our nation. I honestly think around the world, through this crisis, something's being birthed in us. And we have a great opportunity in these crisis days to take time for a kindness stock take. So let me suggest that perhaps we could start with those that we love, our spouse, our partner, our family. Where are the simple acts of kindness that will bless their lives? And then we move further afield, friends and colleagues and neighbours. Would they see me as a kind person? It's sobering to do, but it's the right thing. Start simple. Listen to Mother Teresa's words here. Let me read you this. Kind words are short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. You see, let's never underestimate the transforming power of kindness, because it yields marvelous fruit both in our lives and the lives of those around us. Proverbs 21 and verse 21 says this: whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life and righteousness and honour. Final word to Mother Teresa. I love this. I couldn't do a talk on kindness without this. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living example of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile. Dear friends, we've forgotten the power of kindness and we dismiss it at our peril. But if we open our lives up to the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit and ask Him to release the gift of kindness right now into our lives, we will see this kindness overflow from us through our kind words, our actions, a new smile on our face, and it will touch the lives of others. So let's commit to start doing it this week. You see, divine kindness changes the world. It always has done. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may the power of your kindness change our lives and our families and our future and our nation. And during this time, may we look again at who we are, and may SDC Sheffield in the months and years to come be known as the Kindness Church. Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. Have a great week and a kindness week. God bless.